Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two horrible beard fans watch the 50 beardest horror movies, beard, and we beard about them. My name is Beard Condor, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Beard Errington.
Mr. Beard Errington, how's it going, Mr. Ben Errington?
It's going very well. It's hot to have a beard, isn't it, at the moment? It's warm.
It is. Mine's gone in. Mine's retracted for
yeah, yours
bit.
Is retracted like a little yeah. turtle's head.
That's what you're going in. Kind of...
Oh, that tickle my lips.
Yeah, I can't do that. I do that all the time. I always made that noise, and I instantly regret it every time because it really tickles the lips.
Tickles the lippins. Yeah, mine's quite long at the moment, so I've been out in the sun quite a bit, and I've got quite a sweaty face. Well, I've been conditioning it, you know.
Yeah.
This is a great part of the podcast. This is a great way to start.
Well, the thing is, you I condition mine sometimes, but the thing is, you don't get hay fever like me. Whereas, like when I've got the beard, it's like it collects pollen, like a bee's hide, just sort of stores it all up and shoves it up my nostrils. That's how it feels, anyway. Yeah.
Oh god, that's so you're struggling from hay fever right now, are you?
Right now, it's not too bad, but yeah, if I pop a sneeze or two, and pop a sneeze is my nickname.
Pop a sneeze. Yeah. This is a different angle of your kitchen that I'm seeing right now.
Well, there's washing here. I'm trying to. I've got like some washing up and some bin stuff I need to sort out back there. Yeah. I'm trying to hide it all, but obviously failing.
Bin stuff. I can see your collection of drinks up on top of the cabinet behind you.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is that
a
bottle of Johnny Walker? A bottle of Chambord?
Chambord's tasty as hell.
A bottle of Patron, maybe?
There's that
tequila there in the middle, isn't there?
Rum up there as well that's really good. I don't know what it's called. I'll have to find out.
You've got to bring it out. Bring it out for a podcast. But you've got some washing the other side. I don't want to see your pants.
No.
Briefs. Tighty whiteys.
Yeah. Well, they're just here on the side. You just be aware that my pants are here.
Okay. I'm just aware.
Stage right. Okay, dude, have you done any guffs this week?
Well, do you know what? I haven't consumed much this week. Mm. I mean, I've consumed sustenance, foodage.
Little roughage.
Yeah, but I haven't consumed. I've been doing that socializing stuff, you know, which is well annoying, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah.
So I haven't really consumed anything at all other than this week's film. Yeah. I did have a sort of movie night with some friends, and we watched Jackass and Jackass Part 2, or Jackass the Second, maybe, which was fun, you know, but that don't really count as a film. That's just like a series of hilarious moments. But still just as good as I remember them being. So
I love those films. Yeah.
Yeah, good fun. Good fun was had. Like it's one of those films you kind of want to last forever.
Yeah.
As soon as the hour and a half's up, you're like, oh, I just want some more of that.
Yeah.
This is so Moorish.
There's the best ones are like the high five ones and the, there's that one where it's like a tiny note on the wall, and you get them to read it, and the writing gets smaller and smaller, and then a giant fist punches through the wall in the face.
That's great.
It's so good.
It's like the simplest pranks like that and stunts are just the best. But yeah, I started watching them because I watched a Johnny Knoxville interview about every injury he's ever like sustained.
Yeah.
And he's insane. I mean, I think a lot of people think Steve-O's the most insane, but Johnny Knoxville's like genuinely fearless.
Yeah.
Like, he's just an absolute nutcase. And that's why I went back. I think he's in a new film called Action Point, which kind of looks awful. But apparently he just, like, split his skull open while he was doing it. So I was like, oh, I don't know.
Jesus.
Landed face first.
Why did he? Just part of a stunt.
It was just part of a stunt that kind of went wrong. He just landed on his face. Apart from that, I've not really consumed anything. I've not consumed anything horror related, except for maybe the new Ghost album, which I've been listening to, which is, I guess we're going to throw it into the horror themed stuff because the visuals are
satanic cult stuff running through it and
devil
and stuff.
I've been listening to it from like start to finish over and over and over again.
It's You're mad on it, aren't you?
I'm bloody mad on it, mate. Yeah. Oh, I am mental on it. Yeah, it's just like it's just so 80s, and it's got so many like good synths, organs. There's like a saxophone solo.
That's my favorite part of the album, the saxophone solo.
Oh, the saxophone solo. It's because it's just so unexpected. I think it's like right at the end of an instrumental track. It's just one of those albums that just sort of really like resonates with me, and I think it's just because of all the theatre that comes with it, all the visuals, and I love all the sort of like horror stuff in the videos.
Yeah,
it just seems really cool. I feel like it's a thing that there's loads of it in rock music, loads of it in metal music, but I think it's rarely that ridiculous and over the top anymore without being ridiculous.
Yeah, it's because I never really listened to him before you sent me the video for Rats.
Yeah.
And I've been listening to the album quite a lot, Prequel. And it's good. It reminds me, it's got the sort of, it's not as camp as Lord, but it's, you know, it's got more of like an artistic edge to Lord as there's more sort of going on there.
Yeah.
It's not just catchy music. The music seems to sort of actually, I don't know, it seems to play with like old 80s stadium rock in some ways, but it's also, it's like a lot cleverer than Lord. There's more going on there.
Yeah, there's definitely a stadium rock edge to it, but I just think like lyrically it just seems it's just really good. It's nice and dark, but also uplifting at the same time, which is a nice combination.
Yeah, I like it, man. I like it. In terms of guffs, I finished Resi 7.
Oh yeah, you did.
Oh man, it's by the end of it, you kind of get less sort of terrified because you kind of figured it out a little bit more. There are still some incredibly scary bits, but just in terms of throughout the game, the atmosphere, the sort of Texas Chainsaw meets Resident Evil sort of idea, I just love that. Sort of feels really hot and sweaty and swampy, and it's like really moist. It's so moist. It's the moistest game I've ever played.
It's moist, moistiest. It's very claustrophobic as well, I find.
Yeah,
like it feels, if it really, like, obviously neither of us played it in VR, but I can imagine like the VR experience would be super, super intense.
Well, there's one bit where you've just, for people who played it, you just finished one of the bosses, one of the, I'll just say spiders, and then people will know. And then you go into the old house part of it, you go into this bit on the map, it's just called Contaminated Area, and it's a kid's room, but it's so dark in there that your torch only like shines, like lights up.
The depth of field is like,
You can't see like further than a foot in front of you. You're sort of walking around this room, getting a little bit lost in the dark, but finding your way further and further, getting deeper, going through all these rooms, and there's like little kids' playthings everywhere. And then like a ball, like a play ball, will suddenly like land, like bounce in front of your torch. You're like, holy shit, what's that?
Yeah.
And then you sort of keep pressing on and going. You have to kind of psych yourself up. You can't just like once suddenly sort of like walk through. You kind of have to go, okay, just keep your finger on the forward button.
Yeah,
and it's just going to happen. You kind of have to go for it.
And you just every second, you're kind of anticipating something.
Something, yeah. And he gets so far through this like darkness, and you're like, I don't really know where I am now. I'm kind of like getting a bit lost. And then your torch suddenly clicks off, like, and then there's a whispering voice in your ear.
Yeah,
and it's so scary. Like that.
You're playing with
terrifying.
Headphones,
I play with a TV like on super loud.
Okay.
Yeah, but headphones, I can imagine like being more effective. Yeah.
Yeah, so were there any sound effects coming out of the speaker in your controller as well at this point?
I don't know about a controller, but it's definitely getting like surround soundish sort of.
Because you get that quite a lot in the PS4 games, like there's something happens with the speaker and the controller, but I don't know if it happened in Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 7 is the kind of game where when it comes to the end, like it doesn't really feel that classic Resident Evil, but by the time you get to the end, you're like, that was a classic Resident Evil game. It's a weird sort of...
So I've not played that many Resident games. I've only played Resident Evil 4. When you say that, do you mean the kind of ludicrous, bombastic nature of like the bosses and
Yeah, I guess so. It's like a combination of things, because when you say classic Resident Evil, it's easy. Like, 1 and 2 and 3 are kind of like, that's the classic with the fixed camera angles.
Yeah.
4 kind of reinvented it, so it didn't feel like classic Resident Evil, but now enough years have gone by, that
feels
now,
a bit like its
that
own
feels
version.
Part of it, yeah. As well, yeah. And then obviously as 5 and 6 were more like action-orientated, that kind of like, even bits of that bleed into Resident Evil 7, so I just feel like it's one of those game series where, even though a lot of people will say 5 and 6 were pretty bad, I feel like it's a really good game series. It's always kind of changed things up enough,
yeah,
to kind of keep it fresh, but with that same Resident Evil vibe. Well, hopefully at E3 this week, when Capcom or Sony, PlayStation do their bits, we're gonna get to finally see some Resident Evil 2 remake gameplay or trailer.
So yeah, I have been thinking of grabbing Resident Evil HD, like the remake of the first one.
Oh yeah.
So I've 100%. Never played that, and I've heard nothing but good things about that.
On PlayStation 4, Resident Evil Remake, Resident Evil 0, you can get both of those, I think, fairly cheap. Code Veronica X, I think you can get 5 and 6 as well. But yeah, Resident Evil Remake is really good. I mean, that's the fixed camera angles. That's the classic Resident Evil. And to think that game is almost, you know what I mean? I think that game came out in 2002, and it just looks amazing.
Well, the remake, wait. Mm. Oh, okay. Well, because it came out on the GameCube or something, right?
It came out on the GameCube. Obviously, this is a HD remaster. Yeah. It is HD remaster of that.
Right, Yeah, I'll have to give it a go. In terms of... So I've actually watched quite a lot. I watched Deliverance for the first time. Mm. Picked it up on Blu-ray. It is as good as, you know, I can see why it's as talked about and remembered as it is. That, just for that Jordan Banjo section, it's so good. You have to sort of tap your feet as you're sort of watching. You get really into it and start clapping along.
Do you know what? I honestly don't know if I've seen it.
Do you, I mean, just
I honestly don't know
for
if
that
I
section. Well, it's about four guys from the city. We've got John Voight and Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds doesn't look anything like how I know Burt Reynolds to look these days.
Is he mustacheless?
He's mustacheless, and he's kind of a badass. He's like a proper action star back then. I didn't really. I always see him now as like having a tash and being a little bit of a cheesy sort of a older guy. But this is a different generation. Burt Reynolds. So these four guys from the city, they decide they're going to take a canoe trip down this river. It's sort of like in the back road, hillbilly sort of area. And then they sort of get, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, get attacked by some of these hillbillies. And it's just a proper brutal, well, it's not like particularly gory or anything, but it's just hard to watch because it's very uncomfortable and
psychological.
Yeah, like very tense. And then in the way that what these people do to our four main characters is really kind of horrific. But that was really good. Watched The Conjuring again because I was spoiled and it's on Amazon Prime. I don't know if you're
lovely.
Are you a fan of Conjuring?
Yeah, so Conjuring is probably one of the only films of that sort of like...
It's the best example of the modern ghost story.
It's the best example of the modern ghost story when I don't really like modern ghost stories at all.
Yeah, but it's not your sort of thing, is it? But
no, but The Conjuring I kind of liked, and The Conjuring 2 I really liked.
Yeah, it's got like really good characters. I mean, what's the main actor's name again?
Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, Patrick Wilson and Vera... Farmiga are so good as that couple. Also watched Seven. Watched it with Kat. She said she wasn't sure if she'd seen it before, and I just wanted to show her. And I didn't realize how 90s that film is. Yeah. Like the cuts, like the music, the Nine Inch Nails, and the credit sequence. It just feels like a 90s music video. But it's still it's fantastic.
Is in the box, though, Luke? What is in the box?
Something bad.
Something bad.
And then I watched this film called Evil Dead. But I'll talk about that after this. So I watched Evil Dead 2, and then I watched the remake, which is on Amazon Prime. Ah. Like, straight afterwards, I was like, why not?
Check it out. The remake is all right, isn't it?
I think it's good. I really like it. I think it really takes the sort of camp, bombastic goriness of Evil Dead 2. Takes out the slapstick comedy. But
If they tried to recreate that in any way, and if they tried to have a new actor playing an Ash-like character, I don't think anyone would have been on board for that.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't really have that was welcome, in my opinion.
It's more in keeping with Drag Me to Hell. And there's even a nice nod to Drag Me to Hell in the Evil Dead remake. In the
who, direct, Who directed the Evil Dead remake?
Fede Alvarez, who did Don't Breathe as well.
Right, okay.
It's like his films. Someone, I was listening to a podcast called Shockwaves, and they were saying Fede Alvarez just doesn't give a shit. Like, he just like goes all out in both his films. Like, he just, there's a kind of a punk rock sort of attitude where he'll take it so far, and then you think, that's got to be the end. That's got to be the peak there. We're done now. And then he'll just crank it up right at the end. Something will go like it was like this, in this remake, it's the Rain in Blood moment for me. And it just goes like crazy sort of.
Did you like Don't Breathe as well?
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I don't think it was perfect, but it's a lot of fun.
I watched Don't Breathe kind of drunk on a plane, and I remember being a bit like, whoa, this is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Talking of like kind of remakes, kind of things, should we discuss briefly the Halloween trailer?
Oh yeah, yeah. What did you think? Are you a big Halloween fan?
I'm not a huge Halloween fan, but I've always appreciated the original and a few that came afterwards. And I remember being quite young and watching Halloween 20 years later. So is it called
H2O? Yeah.
H2O. Yeah. What a ridiculous name.
Yes, water. But that's the first. Well, I saw. I didn't see the original.
I'm not sure if it's the first one I saw, but like, I've got really like vivid memories of that film.
Yeah.
And sort of loving it and sort of being creeped out by the whole Michael Myers thing. So yeah, I mean, I think it looks good. I like that they showed. It just looks good. I mean, I know it does kind of look like it goes over the same tropes, but it's Blumhouse, isn't it? So
yeah, I've never been a big Halloween person. I enjoyed H2O as well, but I was always like more Friday the 13th. I was so pro Jason at one point, and I just
pro
like
Jason. Are you pro or any Jason?
I was like, why would you even want Halloween? But
for me, slasher films, it was always Scream when I was sort of that age.
Yeah.
And then I kind of like found out about Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers after that, pretty much.
I know, but
I think it's good. I think it looks good. Sorry, and hopefully we'll see some new stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we should do an episode on it when it does come out.
Definitely.
We're doing Halloween either next week or the week after.
Okay.
The original.
Well, wonderful timing.
Yeah. I remember watching number three, actually. Halloween 3, which doesn't have Michael Myers in. I remember being a bit confused because I think that was one of the first ones. I think I saw H2O and I was like, I want to see some of the old ones.
Who's in it? Instead of William Shatner with a mask of William Shatner.
It was William Shatner this whole time. It's not really got like a slasher person. It's like a completely different story. It's like these Halloween masks that his company give out to people suddenly turn all the kids into killers who are wearing the masks.
That sounds fucking ridiculous.
I remember being ridiculous. It hasn't really stayed in my head at all.
How can that be in the same sort of like franchise as Halloween?
I know, yeah.
Just literally all they've taken is the name Halloween.
I think they were going to go like, let's do a different, completely different thing every film now. And then when it got such a backlash, they were like, no, okay, let's bring Michael Myers back.
bring old Mickey Myers back. Yeah. Come back, Michael!
I think that's I think we're good to go. Should we go into
That's a pretty intense recap we've just done there.
Yeah.
Of life and everything in general.
I'll see you next week.
We should probably do a thing where we put the time code in the video or in the podcast to say when the actual discussion starts.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes in now. Okay, Evil Dead 2 from 1987. Have you got some Gubbins?
So Evil Dead 2, which was also known in some publicity materials as Evil Dead 2 Dead by Dawn, is a 1987 American horror comedy film directed by Sam Raimi and a parody sequel to the 1981 horror film The Evil Dead. That sounds like it's a parody of The Evil Dead, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not. I wouldn't even really consider this a parody film.
I wouldn't. It's...
No.
I don't really know what the state is, because it is a sequel, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of sequel.
The lone survivor of an onslaught of flesh-possessing spirits holes up in a cabin with a group of strangers while the demons continue their attack.
Lovely. This is what Empire Magazine had to say. Sam Raimi's eternally groovy cult favourite has an energy and a spirit that is entirely its own. After reported rights kerfuffle from his original film, Raimi set about to half-retell the Book of the Dead legend, revisiting Ash, played by Campbell, in his cabin in the woods, this time with a sparkier tone and more opportunity for Raimi's hyperkinetic camera gymnastics. The tightrope between supernatural horror, badass action, and genuine spooks has never been walked so confidently, and it's forever cemented Campbell as a cult hero. Good, bad, he's the guy with a chainsaw for a hand. It's got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is more than I thought it would be. 7.8 on IMDb. Yeah, it's what's your history with this film?
This was the first Evil Dead film I saw.
Me too.
I knew like the Evil Dead existed, because obviously this was called Evil Dead 2. But when I went back and watched that, I was confused. I was like, this is like kind of the same. What's going on? This is kind of the same, but like it just felt a little bit, obviously the budget, it was a much lower budget.
Yeah.
A lot more sort of people involved in terms of like characters and stuff. And Ash hasn't really gone full Ash. He never really does in that film, does he? He kind of like...
But right from the start of this one, he's already kind of... His eyebrows are on the fritz right
at the start. His eyebrows. Your eyebrows down. Yeah, so I saw this like when I was pretty young. I remember seeing it like on TV, like really late.
Yeah.
And I think I turned it on during the whole like hand sequence. So that was like, that was my very first introduction to the Evil Dead. And I remember just thinking, what the hell is this? This is nuts. And I think my dad told me a little bit more about it and told me about the other films in the franchise. And then I went and watched them at some point as well. But
yeah, well, I think I said it to you. It was on Channel 4 late at night. And I think I turned it on when it was a claymation bit of Linda dancing. And it really freaked me out. I was quite young. It
freaked me out. Oh, my God. That bit. Yeah. I think any sort of claymation.
Yeah.
Claymation has got like a... is like got such a profound effect on me, because I think it was a lot of the things that used to scare me when I was really young were claymation. So like Medusa, just all of the Ray Harryhausen stuff. I thought that was on my screen. All of the Ray like Harryhausen stuff, all of the like, you know, the harpies from like Sinbad and Medusa, something like so otherworldly and weird and creepy about claymation that when
the
I see
snake
it in,
from Beetlejuice,
but when I see it in any other film, even if it's like not a horror film or not like a creepy film in any way, when I see it, it makes me feel a bit like, ooh.
Uneasy. Yeah.
Like if I saw something claymation coming towards me in real life, I would shit myself.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can go and visit like the Medusa thing that Ray Harryhausen made like in some museum somewhere. I don't want to see it.
What if it came to life? What if it started moving?
Yeah, well, if the eyes lit up and then suddenly I turned to stone, I suppose I wouldn't know, but...
Yeah. So I remember watching it at that point and thinking it scared me. I'll be honest, first time I saw it, even though it's stupid, this felt like so silly, it still scared me. And then I got it on DVD and I used to watch it. It was the kind of film that I watched so often that I'd go out at university, I'd go and get drunk, go to the pub or whatever. I'd come back at 2 or 3 in the morning and it didn't really matter how drunk I was, how tired I was. I'd put it on.
Who you were with. Who I was. Stick this on, come on.
I just want to watch Evil Dead 2. So I used to put it on and I used to like fall asleep at some point to it. But my DVD player used to loop things over and over again. So I'd fall asleep after the first 10 minutes, wake up and I'd watch the end of the film, fall asleep, wake up and I'd watch like the 20 minutes into the film. And I just sort of used to watch it like that over and over again. And I used to just enjoy dipping in and out because it's such a ridiculous film. Like there's so many things that I just, even this time I was like chortling like an arse, like
an arse. It's an easy film to dip in and out of because in terms of plot, I mean, let's be honest, there ain't all that much going on.
Yeah.
As soon as you watch a couple of minutes, you know exactly what you're in for. And then you watch the whole film and, you know, I mean, it doesn't, nothing of great sort of impact happens, but it's still like a thrilling ride that like keeps giving, mate.
In terms of like, we talked about Simon Pegg's like physical comedy last time, having Bruce Campbell is like almost like Jim Carrey level, but believable. Like with the hand, the way he does that, the way he falls downstairs, the way he smashes plates over his own face. Like he's so good at that. I don't know how he can sort of goes into it with like full commitment to sell it.
He doesn't care about head injuries. He's just he's flinging himself all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, he's so good. And the eyebrow acting is like, you know, on point. Key cast, key characters, key players. Bruce Campbell, who we should all know now. Have you watched Ash vs. Evil Dead, by the way?
I've seen most of the first series, I believe, but it has been cancelled now. Is that correct?
After three seasons, yeah. I think they kind of finished the story that they were telling, though. I don't know. Maybe, yeah. I've only seen the first season. Apparently, yeah. The first episode that Ash vs. Evil Dead, I thought was like so spot on, but then it took like a really like big steep dip in quality. I just thought by mid season it was kind of.
I didn't think I finished the whole of the season, but I did see quite a fair chunk of it.
Yeah. So Bruce Campbell plays Ash J. Williams. We should all know who Ash is at this point. Sarah Berry plays someone called Annie Noby. Am I getting Annie and Linda mixed up?
I think Annie is just like the other girl who comes looking for her parents, and Linda is Denise Bixler, who plays Linda at the start.
Right, yeah. Dan Hicks plays Jake, who's a backwards deliverance timed guy. And his sassy girlfriend, Barbie Jo.
Barbie Jo!
Played by Cassie Wesley, the paver. And we've got two more characters. We've got one more character, Ed Gettley, played by Richard Domier.
Yep.
Ed is, I don't think we ever really find out. Is he like that woman's husband? Brother?
Who? Like, which one do you mean, sorry?
So is, there's two people coming later on.
I kind of thought boyfriend.
Right. He's wearing a shirt. He's got the jumper tied up in a loop around his neck. He's a kind of smart jock.
He looks terrifying when he gets.
Yeah, because his hair like becomes like weird, like a pineapple sort of thing going on. Yeah. It's weird, yeah. And he like the way he eats Bobby Joe's hair as well. He starts gnawing at it. Okay,
there's Professor Raymond Noby and Henrietta Noby, who are like the parents of Annie's parents, who were at the cabin before like it all kicks off.
Yeah, as they were before the first film as well, or something.
Yeah,
I never really know what's going on there.
No.
Okay, well, how does the film start?
It just starts with Ash and Linda coming to getting to the cabin, isn't it?
They're in the car, driving. They're going to spend a weekend away in the cabin. Apparently, Ash has forgotten that, like, demons or whatever, or the Book of the Dead in this cabin.
He didn't care anymore. He just thinks, well, last time I went, I had a rollicking good time.
Yeah.
I'm going to get myself right back there and have a bit of fun.
Yeah. So he gets to the cabin. And he's like, why don't we get some of the champagne? And he gets the champagne out and they're drinking. He plays a bit of piano. Instantly, he starts playing that song. I was like,
Chopsticks.
Recaptured. He plays a bit of Chopsticks. Yeah. Plays a Rugrats theme tune. All the classics. Star Wars are just the single notes of Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then he breaks into that piano song. Instantly, I was taken back to when I was like young. I used to like watch this film all the time. And then he finds the tape player with the Book of the Dead and stuff, and then clicks play.
He just thinks it's going to be a mixtape, doesn't he? He's just like, I wonder what hot mixtape is here.
Yeah.
It's got Fresh Prince on it, Marky Mark. All the good stuff, you know.
So is Professor Nobles, whatever his name is talking.
Nobby
Professor
Styles.
Professor Nobby. As he talks, he starts saying the incantation from the Necronomicon Ex Mortis, where they say my name a lot. They say Condor, like all the time. Condor.
Do they?
Yeah, they keep saying my name.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, I did.
Maybe that means now you're possessed.
I am possessed. Yeah.
Yeah, by the spirit of hay fever.
Yeah. So right up my snores. And then we get the classic Evil Dead thing as they're sort of doing the incantation. We keep cutting to the POV of the demon, like flying towards the flat, cabin.
Flying towards the bloody top floor flat.
Yeah, and he goes straight in, smashes the window, possesses Linda. This is all within the first 3 minutes, by the way. I was looking at the thing, and then Linda comes back. She's a deadite.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ash just knocks her head off straight away.
Ash basically just knocks her head off with little to no fault. Like, yeah. she's a deadeye, and he just seems... It's almost like he's acting on instinct now, so he's dealt with this shit before, I think, in this kind of timeline.
Yeah.
And he's acting on instinct, and then he just, like, takes her head off with a shovel.
Yeah.
Like, in a way, where
he,
like...
When he had the weekend away with his missus, this wasn't the kind of head he... what he was going to be getting that night.
Oh my God. Jesus.
Yeah, so
maybe it was.
Yeah. He's got a red off. He's got a red off within 6 minutes of the film. And then he's burying her.
He makes a lovely cross out of two big sticks, which I think is, you know, you just killed and now you're burying your girlfriend. That's, you know, that's presence of mind to make a little crucifix to go over it as well.
And then
he just goes back into the cabin just to have a chill out.
Is it around here where the POV demon thing chases him around the house? So, like, it's coming up for him, and it's like Ash is running away, going behind the walls of the house and stuff. And there's one bit where the POV demon sort of like loses him. It looks right, and they can't find him, looks left, and then sort of gives up. And then at some point, so he looks out, he hears the music playing, and then he looks outside, and then we see the stop motion dancing headless body. And then she gets the head, and it starts like playing with the head and throwing.
I mean, it didn't really look anything like her, but at the same time, it did look super, super creepy.
Yeah, yeah. So she comes out. They have a little scrap, I believe.
Yep.
She bites his hand. At some point around here, he becomes possessed.
Yep.
He gets chucked. Like, it looks like he's being chucked like across the forest.
Yeah, yeah. So he gets going like just speared across the forest for about ten miles.
Yeah. He looks like he's experiencing being speared by Goldberg in the height of his career.
yeah, exactly. Oh God. Who's next?
Yeah. And then he's sort of possessed. He's got, you know, his eyes go milky white. But then the sun
kind of comes up, and he's all right. Like, he goes. Yeah. Is this when he falls face down into like a big puddle?
Yeah, and he's under there for like a long time. Yeah,
yeah. And then when he comes,
blowing the bubbles out. I don't know how he does that. So powerful lungs.
Exactly. That's what we don't know. He's a swimmer.
Yeah.
So then after he wakes up, he kind of looks around for quite a while. That was a nice shot, wasn't it? A nice panning shot where it looked all the way around, like 360 degree.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing. That was lovely. And then he gets back in the car and tries to drive off. And when he gets to the bridge, then obviously all the bridge is sort of like bent upwards, which we've seen in loads of things. And I mean, it's a classic cabin in the woods thing, isn't it? Now, obviously made famous by Evil Dead, but oh my God.
oh my God. And then he, goes back to the cabin.
Yeah.
At this point, we're just seeing him kind of losing his mind a bit. But I think it might be around now that he goes to sit down on a chair and it collapses from under him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the whole house starts to like laugh at him, so that the stag head comes alive.
That's what,
And we get all the different sort of the bookcase is laughing, the whole house is.
Yeah. And Ash looks kind of terrified until he kind of just joins in.
Yeah. And it's a stupid, silly scene, but I just can't help but kind of laugh along with it.
Yeah. And then Linda's head gets involved now. Where does the head come from? Does it just kind of...
Hang on a sec. He looks in the mirror, doesn't he? He goes, "You're losing your mind" or something.
Yeah,
Killed your own... Cut off her head and buried her in the yard over there. And "Do you look fine?" or whatever. And he sort of strangles himself through the mirror.
Yeah. And then, that was a good shot, because looks like someone's strangling him, and then obviously as he goes backwards, he realizes it's him.
Yeah,
that was good. I like that.
And then at some point around here, we got loads of like little skits basically around this point, but they're all great. And then his hand comes alive.
Well, before that, does he not have a bit of a to and fro with Linda's revived head? The severed head bites his hand, and obviously he runs to the shed.
Starts whacking it on everything, yeah.
Yeah, get off, and he puts it in a vice. And then what does he do when he's getting ready to
he's
kind like, of
like looking for around the tool shed and goes, "What can I use?" And then he's like, he sees the thing where the chainsaw should be.
Yeah,
it's not there. And then Linda's body comes in with the chainsaw, and he sort of like bashes away that with like a stick.
And it's like a crowbar, isn't it? Is it like a crowbar or something? Yeah, so he's having like a sort of sword fight with a with a chainsaw and a crowbar.
And it's obviously like a puppet sort of thing with this chainsaw.
It's a big sort of rubbery puppet sort of coming out. The blood in this film is like so watery.
Like gazes of blood spewing out everywhere. But he knocks the chainsaw and the blade falls back onto the body and starts to cut right down and through it. Yeah. Which is, again, they did that in the remake. They play homage to a lot of these stuff, but there's a bit where she's shoving the chainsaw into the body of the thing. But does he chainsaw the head? He's like smiling. Yeah, I think he's like...
Yeah, he chainsaws the head. So we get a cutaway shot where it's like the shadow of
him. He goes on the bulb, like the light bulb and stuff, and sprays everything red.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty intense.
That's when he goes into the mirror. I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. And it's not long after that, obviously, because his hand's been bitten by Linda. I'm assuming it's the same hand.
Yeah.
But so his hand obviously starts being a bit possessy.
Yeah. Starts to attack him. This is when he starts hitting himself with plates, like throws himself over on the floor, passes out. Like he kind of knocks himself out with his plates. And I don't know how they did this. But the hand kind of pulls, because it sees a knife.
Yeah.
It starts to pull himself like across the floor. Pretty amazing, though. I don't know. It looks good anyway. Just as it's about to get the knife, he catches it. And then, what does he say? Oh, yeah. He gets the chainsaw. Is it a chainsaw? It's like a turkey cutter or something. Or I might be mixing it up with the remake now. Like a turkey thing. But, he says, "Who's laughing now?" And he starts, this is my favorite moment. Yeah, so he says, "Who's laughing now?" And as he's cutting hand, he's like laughing like a maniac, but also obviously in deep pain.
Yeah.
He cuts the hand off. He covers it up. And then what?
So the hand just starts sort of running around at this point, doesn't it? He gets a shotgun.
He gives him the finger.
Gives him the finger,
genuinely like offended. It's being rude to
him. Yeah. And then obviously he starts shooting it, and then when it runs into a hole in the wall, he's shooting through the wall, and the hand kind of makes noise, which is very cool, sort of like that, which I thought was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And then
gazes of blood.
I mean, obviously, there's a little bit of a drip initially, and he kind of looks a bit closer, and then just a gazer of blood right in his face. And then it's like some horrible black liquid as well.
Yeah.
And then, that's ultimately the hand like gets away, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then at this point, I think we cut away now. We've been with Ash for quite a while, about a half an hour or so into the runtime. We cut away and we were introduced to what's the name? Annie and Ed.
Yeah. Ed. So apparently it's a research partner. So they've returned from a dig with the missing pages of the Necronomicon, which obviously...
I bet they're doing stuff as well.
Mum and Dad.
They're researching, you know.
I bet they're bloody doing stuff as well, you say, as you take a swig on a can of Iron Brew. Oh, well, I bet they're bloody doing stuff. It's just my research partner. But have you done stuff now?
That's the research.
Grow up, Luke.
Body parts. And so they're coming back from a dig. And he's like, yeah, my parents are at the cabin already. They've got the rest of the book. We've got the extra pages. We're going to head there now. She takes Ed to the woods, but they can't get over because the bridge is obviously mangled, like we saw with Ash earlier. They find two deliverance types, which I'm going to use that reference from now on for these type of people.
Yeah, well, I guess Bobby Jove's not massively a deliverance type.
Well, I don't understand like why they're even... I mean, I suppose he's probably very... No, he's not a very lovely person, obviously. We know this from the film. I don't know why he's with her.
He's not loaded.
Obviously, yeah. So they kind of like say, okay, we'll take you, like, there's like a route, we'll take you through the woods. You have to pay us $50 or I think it's $100 or something.
$100, yeah. And you'd be like, oh, for God's sake, really?
Yeah. So Annie and Ed are like, all right, go on then. Go on then, lad. See us away. And then they take him. At this point, Ash is still losing his mind in the cabin. He hears someone at the door and he takes a shot. And then he hits Bobby Joe on the arm or something.
Does he?
I think so.
Yeah, maybe he does.
Yeah. Which is weird. Now thinking about it, they do that in the remake as well. Someone else gets hit just in the arm with a shotgun.
Oh, right.
There's loads of these little nods.
A lot of nods.
Yeah. There's one bit in the remake where the demon flies through. And I didn't realize this before, but. You know that the bit from The Evil Dead number one by one, we will take you. You know that bit? Like, it's really faint, but you hear the one, like, this demon say that. And it's not loud enough to hear it properly, but it's just like in the background or something.
One by one. You sounded like someone then when you did that. One by one.
We will Frank take Spencer. You. So.
Father!
One by one. Okay.
So when they arrive there, obviously, they think that Ash has just gone mental and bloody murdered everybody.
Yeah.
So obviously, Annie's a bit like, what have you done to my parents? And he's like, I've done nothing. There's possessions going on.
Yeah. They took him in the cellar. And he I don't know how the physical commitment of Bruce Campbell. They love him. Like,
kank, 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 kank.
How do you even film that without actually just doing that and making it look like that?
It's, stuntman, foam steps, I don't know.
So, Mr. Stuntman, we want you to make it look like you're falling down these steps and breaking your face on every single one of them.
Yeah.
How are you going to do it? Well, I'm going to have to jump down and break my face on every single one of them.
I'll have to actually just do it, which is...
Professional face breaker. And so they lock the cellar door, chain it all up, and they see the chainsaw with blood on it, and there's blood everywhere, and they're like, oh god, this Ash character has murdered my mum and dad who are supposed to be here. Then they find the notebook and the tape.
And then they listen to the professor dude, who's basically just detailing exactly what happened to his wife, that she was possessed. That he had to kill her, and he buried her in the cellar, which is where Ash is just chilling.
Yeah. Now I fear my wife has become host to a Kandarian demon.
Yeah.
And she kind of pokes out. They don't have a scrap here just yet, did he? I think Ash is just trying to get out.
Yeah.
And then Jake grabs his head, pulls him out by his face.
Pulls him out by the head. Yeah, so then she sort of comes out, and then she possesses Ed, like, immediately. Like, you kind of get possessed.
I think they kind of trap her face in the thing first, don't they?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Stand on her face, and an eyeball pops out, shoots into Bobby Joe's mouth.
Oh, yeah.
So...
There's just a load of crazy stuff happening here. So Ed gets possessed. Eats some of Bobby Joe's hair, yeah, and then Ash, like, just... Kip, like, pretty much just, like, takes an axe to him, Bobby Joe like tries to escape, and then these like demon trees just like wrap themselves around her.
Yeah, that's a horrible bit. It's not as rapey as
nowhere near as rapey as the remake. No,
but
still pretty horrible.
The they have this thing where like they made it look like the roots sort of go through the skin of her face.
Yeah, that was really horrific.
Yeah,
yeah.
So she runs away. Jake goes after her, or he
Jake basically orders everybody to go after her at this point. So at this point, it's Jake, Ash, and Annie who are left alive because obviously Ed got dismembered with an axe, bless him. And when they're out there, sort of like searching for her, Ash gets possessed suddenly out of nowhere, doesn't he? Yeah. Again, Deadeye Ash. I mean, he looks good as a Deadeye, doesn't he?
I don't know what the logic is. You're like, who gets possessed and who doesn't?
Yeah, it's almost like just at random, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's almost like just that you can just fly into anyone.
Yeah.
And it's weird that Ash can kind of like...
Come out of it,
yeah.
Yeah, but then again, he's sort of like the chosen one in a way, isn't he?
Yeah.
But, oh, that's a good point. When they were looking through the book earlier, the Book of the Dead, there's a bit where they flip to a page and they go, there used to be some savior, some awesome warrior, and it's like a little doodle of a guy with a chainsaw hand, and it's like obviously going to be Ash, but it's a nice little cool little bit. So Ash, he's a demon, he's locked outside, he finds the necklace of Linda's on the floor. They go to Linda on the floor, obviously he sees that and he suddenly remembers being good or something, and whilst he's doing that, you know, recovering,
So Jake gets killed at this point as well. Jake gets dragged down into the cellar by Henrietta, and there's all again a shed ton of blood comes flying out of there.
The knife from the first one is on the table, and Annie uses that to kill Jake by accident, stabs him in the chest,
pops him along. And then here, after Ash has sort of like come out of his Deadeye spell, I guess, there is a quite hilarious bit where Annie just like keeps persistently trying to kill him.
Yeah. I'm all right now.
Because the Deadites are like, they are quite manipulative. There's a bit earlier where Henrietta sort of goes normal and starts talking to Annie as if it's her mum, saying, I used to sing this little song.
Diamond ring.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen that a lot in the Evil Dead films, obviously, where the Deadites are sort of like quite manipulative.
Yeah.
That's obviously she tries to kill him, and he's like, "I'm okay now." And then
she stops, like, and he goes, "I'm okay, good." And then she hits him, like, goes from again with the axe.
She had a free shot at him there, and she just completely misses Ed.
Crap.
That was quite funny. I thought that was quite funny because he was getting so frustrated, wouldn't he? Stop trying to kill me! I said I'm all right now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't believe him though. I would not believe him. Would you?
No, probably not. I wouldn't believe anyone. I would probably kill anyone and everything that moves. You never know. I'd become the villain.
I'd be helping you. I'd be going, come on, Luke, let's do this. And you just axe me in the back of the head. can't be too careful.
So we did miss a point. Jake, to force them to leave with him, throws these pages that they know they have to read to, one, manifest a demon in physical plane reality, two, open up wormhole to time and space to suck him into it. So now they're like, okay, so we need to go and get those pages. We need to tool up. And it's like the classic Evil Dead tooling up scene. He gets there. I don't think it makes that much sense. He gets like a little bracelet, like a band sort of thing. He ties the chainsaw to it. He's got like a little hook thing to start it up. He's got the shotgun. He saws off the end of the shotgun, flips it over. Like, he turns into full on. Well, not just yet. There is a little bit soon where he turns into full-on Ash, but he's like on the way there now.
He's getting there. And then obviously we get the iconic groovy.
Groovy. And then they go into... I don't think he even does very well in this initial fight with the woman, Henrietta. No, she sort of pulls on his legs or something. And
So he goes down into the cellar looking for her, and he finds the pages. Slings the pages back up. To Annie, obviously, goes and starts reading out the incantation.
Yeah.
And then obviously he starts fighting Henrietta as he's backing up for the cellar. You know, obviously he's not gonna get off scot free. Yeah. Henrietta grabs his legs, pulls him through the staircase, and then like throws him through it.
Yeah.
And then obviously he starts fighting him, which is pretty good. This sort of battle. And by the time they get back up into the cabin, Henrietta turns into like a weird stop motion long-necked
snake-neck
brachiosaurus beast with big old teeth. And you know, this is good because we get cut back from like the sort of stop motion bits and then close-ups with the big wobbly puppet.
Yeah,
it's sort of like it does look dated, but at the same time, it just still looks cool. Yeah. When I saw something like that when I was younger, I'd be like, "Well, Jesus."
Yeah, me too. Yeah. The Deadite Henrietta attacks Annie, and as she's doing that, as she's about to kill her, I mean, basically, Ash suddenly turns up, shoots her, chainsaws off her legs and her arms and head.
Yeah.
And then he says he blows the head with a shotgun, and then they do the incantation, finish it. And then
what is the classic line he says when she?
I know, I'm trying to remember. Forgot now.
It's something on this. No, it said that's it. It says "I'll swallow your soul. I'll swallow your soul. I'll swallow your soul.
Yeah.
Swallow this.
And then
yeah, that's good.
They manifest the finish incantation is going to manifest the demon physically, and then it comes in the form of the last bad guy from Resident Evil 7. like just a giant tree face poking through the it's really good. Ash sees it and he gets so scared at what he's seeing, like a Lovecraftian way. Like his hair turns white down the side, and I feel like that's like the his face as well, it's like it doesn't like know what to do.
Oh Jesus Christ. Like he's seen some really, really good deals down the local Aldi. How much for continental meats?
Yeah. They're doing the big tasty at McDonald's again.
Oh, ribs back on
Lion A. So he's fighting the big tree thing.
Yep. Big tree man. And then around about the time he kind of like, and so the incantation ends and the big sort of whirly portal opens in the sky.
Yeah.
And he finishes the portal. Obviously, Ash's car flies in there. Ash starts sucking everything in. But then Ash's severed hand with the old knife comes and stabs Annie.
Yeah.
So she gets deaded.
Deaded. And then the demon gets sucked into the wormhole. Ash follows in.
The demon gets sucked off.
Yeah. Ash gets sloppy seconds in the hole. And he lands in like a weird apocalyptic looking dead cracked earth place, but there's knights there.
So he gets sucked off.
Yeah,
he ends up in like Life of Brian.
He's a very naughty boy. And
so obviously they think he's a deadite initially, don't they? They sort of say he's a deadite, and he'll surround him and get ready to sort of kill him, all of these knights. So obviously he's gone back in time. So he ends up in 1300 AD, I think.
Yeah.
And then as that's happening, there's like a sort of flying deadite type thing coming towards them.
Yeah, and Ash shoots it, and then they have the classic, he's the savior. Hail! Hail! And then Ash is going, no! As they're all chanting for him.
That must be annoying, though, going back in time. I'd be well annoyed, wouldn't you? Oh, god damn it!
When was the last time you watched Army of Darkness? I've only ever seen it twice, I think.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a long time. I might have to watch it.
I've seen it twice. I've seen two different endings.
Yeah.
There's one when he wakes up in like a weird deadite future or something.
Do you reckon it's worth doing an episode on it to round off the trilogy?
Yeah, actually, we probably should do, shouldn't we?
Maybe after we finish the list. Possibly.
Yeah. I need to get a hold of Army of Darkness. I've not seen it in so long. But that's how it finishes. The classic that is Evil Dead 2. Some trivia.
The end. Trivia, yes.
Number one. Which big name master of horror was fundamental in securing finance for Evil Dead 2?
Big name master of horror.
Yeah.
I know Stephen King's a fan, so is it possibly him?
Yeah, Stephen King was such a huge fan of The Evil Dead, the first one, that he convinced producer Dino De Laurentiis over dinner, who was producing King's Maximum Overdrive film, finance The Evil Dead 2. And that's where it came from. Correct. Number two. What is the name of the book that Ash uses to trap his severed hand?
Oh God, what a question! What is it, like a famous book or something?
It's a like a visual joke. You might have even noticed it in like a previous watch and just sort of not.
No,
it's called The Farewell to Arms. That's the book that he puts on top.
Oh yeah, that's good. Oh, I wouldn't got that.
Okay, I don't know if you want to get this one, but the crew nicknamed the demon with the big head, the bad guy from Resident Evil 7, they gave it a nickname. Do you know what the nickname is? Or any guesses?
I missed the true or false trivia question. I used to feel so good about myself then. 5 out of 5. I don't know. Did they call it Keith?
Close. They called it Rotten Applehead.
Oh.
It's too large and cumbersome for the crew to carry back to California, so they just left it when they were filming in North Carolina, and it soon disappeared, and no one's ever known where it is.
That's fly tipping.
I'm going to say, its whereabouts were unknown for a number of years until it was found in a Halloween haunted house attraction just outside the original shooting location. That's cool.
That is fly tipping, though, isn't it?
Like, fly tipping, yeah.
They might go, it's a funny bit of trivia or something, but it is illegal. And you've got to think about these things, about all the extra work your council's got to do.
It's illegal in England. I don't know about North Carolina. There's so much space in America. Why not?
Well, just fly tip any old shit everywhere.
Yeah.
That'd be one good thing. If you move to America and realize you can fly tip anywhere, that'd be one bonus.
I'm always thinking, I wish I could do some fly tipping right now.
Yeah. I mean, I might get shot in America, but at least I'll be able to do shitload of fly tipping.
Yeah. Okay, so... how many actors play as Henrietta in The Evil Dead 2?
How many actors? Yeah. Right. So I know that obviously you get the old lady.
Yes.
The old lady playing her. But it's not... I'm pretty sure it's Sam Raimi's brother, isn't it? Ted Raimi, who plays like the demon Henrietta. And let's throw one more in there for shits and giggles. 3 in total.
Well... I've got written down 2. I've got written down Ted Raimi and Lou Hancock. Ted Raimi plays the Deadite version, and it says Lou Hancock plays Lou Hancock plays Henrietta. But you are right. There is a bit where she is as a woman face as well, and that's not a man with like makeup on. That's a woman.
No.
So you are right. Yeah. Maybe 3. Well done. Number 5. What shape does a necklace have when Ash is evil and he finds it on the living room floor? The necklace is making a shape.
Is it like a pentagram?
No. Any more guesses?
That was a good answer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is it the shape of... Is it a love heart?
No. One more guess.
Oh, a penis.
No, it's a skull. I didn't recognize it this time because they did it twice in the Evil Dead remake. You watch the Evil Dead remake and there's loads of things you're like,
Oh, yeah.
There's so much. Okay, man, I think you got like 5 out of 5 or something. Who's counting?
Hell yeah, I did.
You need to grade the film.
Yeah. Shall I grade this film? I enjoy it, but it's not. I don't think it holds the same sort of weight over me. Well, I didn't watch it all that much when I was younger. It's not the kind of film where I always think, oh, go back to this. It is my favorite of the trilogy.
Yeah,
like it definitely is, and I can appreciate like everything involved because I mean I'm a big fan of Sam Raimi. Pretty much everything he's done. This sort of stuff. I mean, I love the Spider-Man films as well, and it's good to see those little sort of like nuances and like even though it's a totally different film.
Yeah.
Especially when you see it. I mean, his brother pops up in Spider-Man films as well, doesn't he?
And Bruce Campbell does.
And Bruce Campbell. And he pops up twice here. I think he's a knight as well as being Henrietta's Deadite version.
Yeah.
I mean, this film is great, but I probably wouldn't go any higher than a B+.
Interesting. Very interesting. So I couldn't give it anything but an A. It's one of my favourite films. I just, like, watching it, I've not seen it for a long time, and then just putting it on this time, I just watched the entire thing, and I was laughing, like, so often, and I just love what it is. What did I give Drag Me to Hell, do you know? Because I remember, I do enjoy that one.
We'll have to consult the
spreadsheets.
The spreadsheet.
I do enjoy that one a lot, but now that I've watched this one again, I'm like, you know what? I think this is still better than Drag Me to Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I prefer this to Drag Me to Hell. I mean, that made me sound like a complete hypocrite if I go back and my Drag Me to Hell rate. I don't think my Drag Me to Hell rating was more than B+.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be interesting. We need to have a look at the sheets and see how we're doing. Next week, we're going to be doing Hereditary, I believe. It comes out on the 14th. It's out in America now, but it comes out in 3 days.
Mm.
So you should have time to go check it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have time.
Heard good things.
Yeah, it's reviews have been pretty positive. Rotten Tomatoes score is pretty high.
What is it on?
I think it's on like, I don't want to say 97. I'm going to say, I think it's on 80 something. You going to have a little gander?
Yeah, I have a gander now.
Have a little goosage. So
92%.
It is on 92. Again, I mean, that's pretty good. From the trailer, like the trailer looks good. However, like, I'm hoping for something much more different than all of these modern
A24s. Oh, well, I don't think it's going to be like a Conjuring-esque thing. I think
No, I know. Oh, I know. Okay, that's cool. Why yeah. I'm very wary that, you know what I mean? I'm very wary that that's where it could go. But I mean, I'm glad it's not that kind of film.
I think it might be more like Killing of a Sacred Deer meets The Witch. That's what I've still got in my head. But I no idea, really. But.
Yeah. No idea. No eye killing of the sacred deer.
Yeah. Okay, dude. This show is brought to you by the Story Studio with Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Coverage Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. And remember to hit subscribe. And thanks to my co-host, Ben, for being a real horror dude.
Thank you very much, Luke Condor.
Thank you very much, Beard Errington.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.